In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about the rest of you, but for me, it's a little hard to believe that another Lent awaits us just around the corner. In just a few short days, it will be Ash Wednesday. Once again, the Church will invite us all to enter into a holy and penitential season, a time when we fast, pray, study, do works of charity, when we focus on our souls, preparing our eyes to look upon the cross and to see Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Son of God, the Son of Man, hanging from it. When thinking about and speaking about Lent, we often invoke the image of the desert, a valley of sparsity, of harshness, of austerity. But before Lent, the Church first brings us to today, the last day after the Epiphany. Before we descend together into that desert valley of Lent, we pause together on the mountaintop in the radiant glory of the Transfiguration. It's an interesting place for us to be before Lent. The two seem to be in juxtaposition to one another, Lent and the Transfiguration. During Lent, our eyes are ever pointed towards the cross. Each week, we get closer and closer to the cross. Each week, the suffering of Jesus is brought into sharper focus. Before that, we are given this vision of glory, this radiant, bright light of hope. Jesus transformed, transfigured in majesty and power. It might seem odd to us. Might seem like we cannot hold both in our hands at the same time. The balance is just not right. We can't keep both the mountaintop and the desert in our view at the same time. The two are just too far apart. But perhaps this scene has been purposefully placed here for us. Perhaps these two go together in a way not easily seen at first glance. Let me share with you some thoughts from N.T. Wright. He is someone we turn to often in our bi-monthly Bible study. Consider what he offers us here. The scene of the Transfiguration offers a strange parallel and contrast to the crucifixion. If you're going to meditate on the one, you might like to hold the other in your mind as well, as a sort of backdrop. Here, on a mountain, is Jesus revealed in glory. There, on a hill outside Jerusalem, is Jesus revealed in shame. Here, his clothes are shining white. There, they've been stripped off, and soldiers gambling for them. Here, he is flanked by Moses and Elijah, two of Israel's greatest heroes, representing the law and the prophets. There, he's flanked by two brigands, representing the level to which Israel has sunk in rebellion against God. Here, a bright cloud overshadows the scene. There, darkness comes upon the land. Here, Peter blurts out how wonderful it all is. There, he is hiding in shame after denying he even knows Jesus. Here, a voice from God himself declares that this is his wonderful Son. There, a pagan soldier declares in surprise that this really was God's Son. The mountaintop explains the hilltop, and vice versa. Perhaps we only really understand either of them when we see it side by side with the other. Learn to see the glory in the cross. Learn to see the cross in the glory. And you will have begun to bring together the laughter and the tears of the God who hides in the cloud, the God who is to be known in the strange person of Jesus himself. This story is, of course, about being surprised by the power, love, and beauty of God. But the point of it is it that we should learn to recognize that same power, love, and beauty within Jesus, and to listen for it in his voice, not least when he tells us to take up the cross and follow him. So thanks to N.T. Wright, I think it's starting to become a little clearer to us. We can see what's at stake here. I think this is the power of putting the transfiguration in front of us, in front of our eyes, before we enter into Lent. We cannot have one without the other. We cannot have the glory of the mountaintop without the sacrifice of the cross, which is found in the desolate desert. The sacrifice of the cross has power and meaning because of the glory of the transfiguration. They are inseparable, eternally linked, each revealing deep truths about the other, each completing the other, each present in the other. The call to us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as disciples, is to not look at these events alone, to not only bear witness. We are called to participate in them, to pick up the cross, to pick up our own cross and follow in the light of Jesus. The cross comes to us all in many ways, responding to hate with love, responding to fear with hope, trusting in the will of God when we cannot see what comes next, sacrificing something, some part of our lives and ourselves for others. When we do that, when we are willing to fight for others, for the good of others, to act as Jesus acts, then not only do we pick up our own cross, but we also begin to change. We start to shine a little bit more with the light of Jesus. We start to be transformed into instruments of God's boundless grace. We become a little transfigured. So our scene today from the mountaintop is the backdrop, not just for Lent and not just for the cross, but for all that Jesus says and does. And it is the backdrop for us as faithful Christians, for all that we say and do. In our self-sacrifice, in our picking up the cross, the glory of the mountaintop, the brilliant light of the transfiguration starts to shine through into this world and to dispel the works of darkness. Amen.